This is in relation to marriage. Paul says, defraud you not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves, notice, to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. So he's admonishing them to pray. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1. Verse 11. You also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. I'm just going to go through. I just want to read these verses because I just want to demonstrate how often Paul mentions prayer. There's no reason why we in the dispensation of grace shouldn't pray. In Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, notice, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So you want to know how to pray for a preacher? Pray that he might have open doors of utterance. They might have opportunities to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's what Paul said. That I may be given unto me, open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds. Pray for people. Pray for one another. Pray for those that teach the word of God, for those that preach. All things that Paul instructs us to pray about. Philippians chapter 4. I'll tell you what, we'll come back to that one. Go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Just a very short verse. 2 Thessalonians 3. Now, how can you pray without ceasing? Let's just stop on that one a minute. How can you pray without ceasing? In other words, I believe that prayer is communication with God. And I believe that we should be in spiritual communication continually. Our life ought to be a continual exchange with God Almighty. Making known the desires of our heart. Making known the burdens of our heart and the things that bother us and the things that trouble us. And it, like I said, it doesn't have to be a time when you kneel. There's nothing wrong with kneeling down by your bed at night and praying. You know, I heard a comedian recently and he said he kind of got amazed at one time about the prayers that parents prayed with their kids, you know, in a dark room. Lord, I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. Like something's going to get him, you know. But, you know, it's just like God is great, God is good, let us thank us for our food. You know, those prayers like that children learn and so forth, just repetition. I mean, those aren't really prayers from the heart, but there's nothing wrong with them. Teaching a child to pray. But the fact is that our prayer life ought to be one of continual communication. Pray without ceasing. You shouldn't feel like, well, I got to take out some time and go over here and make me a list and sit down and pray about all these things. To me, that's kind of unnatural. Now, I know people, you know, they make prayer lists and write them down and they sit down and they pray over each one of those things. And TV preachers do that and say they do, you know, and lay their hands on them. And if you put your hand on the TV, you get a blessing. But like I said, there's nothing wrong with that. But see, with me, the idea is when something comes to your mind, a spiritual concern, pray about it. Pray about it. You don't have to wait. You're walking down the street, you in a car, whatever, wherever you are. It comes to your mind, sitting drinking a cup of coffee. Pray about it. It doesn't need to be something that's mechanical. It needs to be instantaneous, spontaneous. It needs to be a communication. We're His children. He's our Father. And, you know, if you're sitting in a room with somebody, I mean, can you think about this? Your spouse, You sit down and you make a list of everything that you want to talk to them about. And once a week you get together and you say, okay, here's the list. Be kind of awkward, wouldn't it? But when you're sitting in a room together, unless the TV's on, you know, you're communicating, talking continually, or the wife is anyway, the husband's trying to listen. I guess that's not a real good illustration, I'm sorry. But the point is that the praying without ceasing has to be that we're in continual communication with the Lord, and we don't mind making our requests known unto Him on a continual basis. 2 Thessalonians 3, in verse 1. Notice again what Paul asked the people to pray for. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Now, I want you to go back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And this is the verse I think that really causes the most confusion sometimes. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Notice the wording now. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, you know, I hear sometimes preachers that kind of take a more, I would say, confined stance than I do, and they say that God doesn't do anything in our lives today in a physical sense, and therefore you shouldn't pray for those kind of things. But yet, I don't see Scripture that necessarily backs that up. What I do see is I see Scripture that says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If you do that, you don't have to worry about whether it's maybe a little out of line. The Spirit makes intercession for us. Let your requests be made known to God. You have some people you want saved, pray for those people to be saved. You got some people you want to see come to knowledge of the truth, pray that those people come to knowledge of the truth. You know what might happen? If you pray about that long enough, you might find that you would have the burden to be the one to go and tell them. You see, I've always said, since I understood prayer dispensationally, that prayer doesn't change things, like people say. Prayer changes people. And I think when we're in constant communication with God Almighty, it's going to change our outlook. It's going to change our focus. Because you know that whatever you're thinking about most is what you're going to be involved in. So pray for people. Pray for people that are lost. Pray for family members. Pray for all those things. People are sick. Say, well, God's not healing today. Well, you know, you can pray for somebody. You say, well, through the healers and so forth. But you know what? If somebody's sick, why don't you, if you don't want to pray for them to be healed, if you want to, pray for it. But my point is, pray for peace. Pray that that person might have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Pray for comfort for people in difficult situations. You see, we don't always have to pray. And that's what Paul's talking about. He said, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And so we don't really know how to pray about things. But that doesn't really matter. Because the Spirit makes intercession. And so when you pray for people, pray that God's will be done, but also pray for them to the best of your ability in a scriptural way. He says, and by the way, he says there, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, did the peace of God come because he answered the prayer, or did the peace of God because you prayed the prayer? Because you prayed the prayer. You make it known to the Lord. Then you're trusting Him. And whether He does or don't do, you're still trusting Him. So you can have the peace. So if the answer comes, you can rejoice. If it doesn't, you still can have the peace of God that passes all understanding because you made it known unto the Lord. And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds. There's another thing Paul says here that I find very interesting. Read verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Did you notice verse 9? Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. In other words, if you follow the Apostle Paul's pattern, and you pray and you don't get the answer, you still have the peace of God because you prayed scripturally. Now, if you're claiming Matthew 7 and Matthew 18, and you're praying those kind of prayers and the answer doesn't come, you're not going to have the peace of God because you're going to say, God said He would do it, and He hadn't done it, therefore God's not true. That's why we rightly divide the word truth, folks. Now, we've got a few minutes left. I want us to look specifically at some of the things that Paul prayed for. After all, he's our pattern. Look in Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. In everything, he says, give thanks. Pray about everything. Make your request known unto God. But realize that God hasn't given us the physical promises. He doesn't say He gives us any. He just hasn't given us the physical promises that He promised Israel. He says we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, notice Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. Then the best thing you can pray for somebody is to be saved. Notice Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And I find this real interesting because Paul said it's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, in Colossians chapter 1, see, I wasn't the only one. No problem. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, talking about their faith, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice what Paul said. Since we heard of your faith, we don't cease to pray for you. And notice what he says, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He prayed for the nation Israel that they might be saved. He prayed for these people that they might come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? That they might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing. We had a situation in our life many years ago, and it was very disturbing and upsetting, and I prayed about it. I didn't really know how to pray, but I prayed about it. And what I prayed was that some people were involved in some things they shouldn't be, that was causing some real hurt. And I prayed, this is what I prayed. I prayed, Lord, I know that that person knows the doctrinal truth about what's going on. And my prayer is that they would respond to that. You see, rather than praying that God would supernaturally manipulate things, God has a way of working today. He's instilled His Word in us. We can either act upon that or we can act upon our own fleshly desires. And so, the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Well, then if you want to pray for somebody, pray that they would walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing and be enlightened with the Word of God. In other words, that the Word of God would become real to them. That's a good prayer for people. That's what Paul prayed for, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's what I pray for people when I think they're in a dangerous doctrinal position. You know, I know we want to pray the wrath of God down on people, but you can't do that because God's not dispensing wrath today. So when you have problems with people, you have difficulties, pray for them. Pray for them. And pray that their minds might be open to the truth, that they might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they might walk worthy of the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 1, look in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 15, Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. You see, Paul is praying for these people that they might have wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Now, I want to cover one other thing. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12. And to me, this is one of the most telling verses in the Bible about dispensational prayer. Because if Paul had been operating under the kingdom doctrine given to Peter and James and John, this event would have never taken place in Paul's life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 1, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one, caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. In other words, Paul had seen all, had all this information, had these revelations, and he is saying the natural tendency was for me to be, in my own eyes, exalted. But he said the Lord took care of that. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, notice, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, I know that probably if you've ever listened to much Bible study, you've heard all different kind of opinions about what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. Some people say it was probably an eye ailment, something physical. Well, I believe Paul listed in the previous chapter. In chapter 11, by the way, he tells us what it is. He says it's the messenger of Satan to buffet me. He said, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Well, notice what he says back in chapter 11, in verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things which are out without that cometh upon me daily the care of all the churches. Now I want to ask you something. If you were experiencing what Paul experienced, do you think you'd be praying? You better believe you would. I mean, come on, folks. We get a headache and, oh, Lord, help me with it. Lord, remove this headache. Well, here's Paul. Listen, look at the things he said there. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. That's 39 stripes of the Jews, five times he received that. Three times he was beaten with rods. He was stoned. The devil was, and you know who was doing that? It was men. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. These men were operating under the influence of Satan to resist the truth that Paul was preaching, and they were beating him. That's what the word buffet, you know, you look it up in a Greek dictionary, it's to continually beat upon. And I believe Paul was saying, Lord, if there's any way, remove that. Remove all this resistance. Because he wanted to be free to preach and teach the Word of God. To me, that makes all the sense in the world, particularly when you read down, get down to verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 12. Notice what he said. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. That tells you it's all right to pray about physical things. Paul did. But it's also important to understand that you may not get the answer you want. What did God say? He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in what? Infirmities. In reproaches. In necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. You take those things mentioned in verse 10 and go back and compare them to chapter 11 that we just read. And you'll find every one of those things. Infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distresses. He said, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. You see, Paul just said back there in verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the revelations given to me, there was given me this thorn in the flesh. I mean, Paul couldn't be standing up there and glorying about what a wonderful guy he was and what a wonderful preacher when everybody in town's beating him up and resisting him and kicking him out of town and kicking him out of the synagogues. You think a man ever had humility? It was the Apostle Paul. And so he prayed to God three times. He removed the thorn. And the great answer that came back, folks, is the thing that we can always hang our hat on. My grace is sufficient for thee. There's no circumstance in life that God's going to allow us to go through that His grace is not sufficient. It may not seem like it at the time. It may seem dark and void and like there is no God at times. But God's grace is always sufficient. But you know what I have found out, and what I believe with all my heart, is that you don't really experience the grace of God, the sufficient grace of God, until you really need the sufficient grace of God. I was called by a very dear friend of mine down in Louisiana, Wayne Verrett. It was at a time when they didn't have a pastor, and his dad was dying, and I had gotten real close to Wayne and Lisa. Mary and I had gotten real close to Wayne and Lisa and Pawpaw and Mama, as we called them. And so Pawpaw was dying of a breathing condition, emphysema. And so on his deathbed, he had asked Wayne if I could come see him. And so Wayne told me he would take care of it, and he flew me down there. And I went to this man's bedside there in Wayne's house, or Donald's house, I think it was. And Papa said, Brother Steve, I can't understand. He said, I've been praying for days that God would just let me go home. I'm suffering. I want out of this body of flesh. And I said, Papa, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says that God's grace is sufficient. I said, can you right now believe that it is sufficient? And just depend on God's will and not what you want. I said, I know you want out of this body of flesh, but I said, just trust in the Lord. Can you depend on His grace being sufficient? He said, I sure can. Next day I called Wayne and I said, how's Papa? He said, he hadn't complained one time. That night he went to be with the Lord. But you know what? That's the power of the Word of God. Not me, the Word of God. Conveying to people that God's grace is sufficient. When I opened the Scriptures and I read that to him, he said, I can believe that. And the man had peace. And we can have peace in the darkest hour, the most difficult time. But think about this. We've got a three-year-old grandson that about 18 months ago was diagnosed with a disease that in many cases is fatal. It's a cancer-type disease. Now, I have thanked God many times that I understood and knew that I wasn't given the promise that if I prayed for him, it would be answered. Because if I did pray for him and the disease didn't go away, then where would my faith be? It would be shattered. But I know that regardless of what happens with him, I've made known my request unto the Lord about that situation time and time again. But I know that whatever happens about that, God's grace is sufficient. And I can claim that. I can depend on that. And I can't even imagine what it would be like to lose that little boy. But I know that God's grace is sufficient because that's what the book says. You see, that's what the importance of doctrine and Scripture does in our life when it comes to live within us and become part of us. it can change your life. And so, if you have wonders about prayer or whatever, a good thing to do is just take your Bible and go through Paul's epistles. Almost every one of them, he has a prayer for people. And we're to follow him. And so look at the things that Paul prayed about and the things that Paul prayed for. And that's a good pattern for your prayer life. But above everything else, don't ever get discouraged and quit praying because you don't think there's any need to. Because the Bible says, pray. Our apostle says, pray. And pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. And make your requests known unto the Lord. All right. I hope that helps some, and I hope that will maybe be an encouragement to you. Like I say, sometimes people, when they first begin to see this, it's kind of a discouragement because they think, well, I want to believe that I can ask and receive. Well, you might want to believe it all you want to, but the fact that it's not ours, you need to know that. Because when you do believe that and the answers don't come, then there's great discouragement. All right.